Hey, good morning. How's everybody doing today? All right. Good, good, good. Hey, this morning we're talking about the Jonah inside. The Jonah inside. And I want to invite you to grab those notes there in your worship folder. And if you want to grab a Bible, about two-thirds of the way through the Bible is the book of Jonah. And if you need to look in the table of contents, that's fine too. But the book of Jonah is an interesting book today. And the reality is there's a Jonah inside of all of us. The Jonah inside is the voice, it's the persona, it is the desire to kind of go and do our own thing rather than to do the God thing. And maybe you can relate to this in the context of some of your own experiences. Maybe you feel like God has maybe asked you to do something that you believe to be impossible or challenging, or maybe it's just something you simply do not want to do. Maybe it's a habit that you want to break, or maybe it's sharing your journey of faith with somebody that's not a believer. Maybe it is serving in a ministry. Maybe it's starting to tithe. Maybe it could be so many, many different things, but God is always leading and directing, and we have a choice to make every single day. Am I going to follow the Lord's way, or am I going to follow my way for my life? And the book of Jonah is so interesting because it reads like a personal journal. It is the open and honest story of one man's struggle with God. Jonah struggled with God. And even though it was written many, many years ago, the book of Jonah is so relatable and so applicable to our own lives today because we struggle with God as well. God told Jonah to go to the city of Nineveh to preach. Problem was, Jonah did not want to do that. Instead, he got on a boat. He went his own direction. He sailed towards the city of Tarshish, but something unexpected happened on the journey. A great storm arose, and it looked like the boat was going to sink. The cargo and the crew was to be lost, but Jonah was thrown overboard, and he was swallowed by a great, great fish. Later, he was vomited onto dry land, and he goes and preaches to the city of Nineveh. And sometimes when people hear the story of Jonah, they're like, man, that is crazy. That is wheels off. That could never really happen. Is that really a true story? But it's interesting that in Matthew chapter 12 that Jesus spoke of the story of Jonah. And Jonah was written about 750 to 800 years before Jesus came on the scene. But this is what Jesus said in Matthew 12:39, a wicked and adulterous generation asked for a miraculous sign, but none will be given it except the sign of the prophet Jonah. For as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be there 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. And the men of Nineveh will stand up at the judgment with the generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And now one who is greater than Jonah is here. So Jesus actually refers back to the story of Jonah and its historical accuracy. It's interesting that Jonah really foreshadows the coming of Jesus, and Jesus even says it himself. Jonah was 3 days in the belly of this great fish, but Jesus spent 3 days and three nights in the tomb. And so Jonah is really a foreshadowing of the coming of Jesus and is a type of Jesus, if you will, in many ways. But anyway, a lot of people think of the story of Jonah as kind of the fictitious story. You know, somebody said to me this week, oh yeah, that's a story about that guy in the whale. And sometimes we kind of relate the story of Jonah to that. You know, there's like Dumbo, Pinocchio, and Jonah. You know, and they're all kind of like that. I was asking a little preschooler what her favorite Bible story was a couple of years ago. And you know what she said? She said Snow White and the Seven Dwarves. Some of you didn't laugh, were like, is that really in the Bible? You know, you were trying to go through and you're, is that what Disney or the Bible or God or what is that? Yeah, no, it's not in the Bible. I know it sounds like the book of Revelation, but it's not. Sometimes we equate the story of Jonah to that. But listen, just because it's hard to understand doesn't mean it's not a reality. God supernaturally rescued the man Jonah in the water with that great fish. And listen, in the great fish, we see the grace and mercy of God, don't we? Because Jonah thought his life was done. Game over. Thrown overboard. in the middle of a storm into an amazing high waters and all these other things. He thought it was game over. God rescued him in his grace. And then in chapter 3, we see that Jonah is sent to the city of Nineveh that God originally called him to. And God gives him a second chance. Did you know we serve a God of the second chance? Every single one of us here today, God offers you a second chance. So we need to unpack this whole story today. And I want you to go with me today to Jonah chapter 1, because the question really is this morning, how do we deal with the Jonah inside? The Jonah inside, the desire to go my own direction or to follow God's direction. The first thing we do is we listen to God's word. Will I do what God has said? God has a direction for our lives. God has a will for our lives. God has a purpose for our lives. Do I want to row in sync with God, or do I want to do my own thing? Notice verse 1 of chapter 1. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord. Now, why would Jonah run away from the Lord? I mean, Jonah's a prophet, man. He's a preacher. He gets a new assignment. Why is he not excited about that? Because the city of Nineveh was a freaky place. There were some scary people living in the city of Nineveh. The Ninevites were the nastiest, most feared individuals at this time in the world. They were violent. They were angry. They were unpredictable. Many people's cities that were sieged by the Ninevites would just take their own lives because they knew the Ninevites would bury them alive and torture them if they did not. People were afraid of the Ninevites. They were scary folks. And Jonah said, man, no thank you, God. I mean, you could send me anywhere, but don't send me to Nineveh. Nineveh was the sin city of the ancient world. It was a wheels-off place, and it was a place that was just downright scary. The book of Nahum tells us so many things about the bloodthirsty people there in the city of Nineveh. And after all, Jonah is a Jew. Man, he's a Hebrew. I mean, he follows the teachings of Moses, you know, the Ten Commandments. And, you know, I love the Lord. I'm a good dude. And now you're going to send me over these pagan sinners, you know. God, how does that work? It would be kind of like if Peyton Manning signed with the Raiders next year, right? I mean, that would be really bad. There would be some major hate that would be going on in the Mile High City, you know. He would be a traitor. Man, going to the enemy, man, the bad guys, right? So Jonah says, no thanks, and he runs the opposite direction, even though God tells him to go there. It would be kind of like if God sent you to start a Bible study for the Al-Qaeda network. How would that be, you know? How many of us would be enthusiastic about that assignment, right? No thank you. I need you to go over and share the good news of Jesus and to pass out Bibles to Hamas, you know, or Islamic Jihad. Let's see how those guys would receive you, you know. You would be on a boat to Tarshish just in the same, you know. And so this is how Jonah feels. Man, God has asked me to do something. It's too big. It's too great. I can't get my brain around it. So I'm going to run the other direction. Now, when God asks us to do difficult things, we usually respond. There's usually two reasons why we don't want to follow. One is we're just afraid. And certainly Jonah was afraid. The Ninevites were intimidating, right? And God's asking you to do some things today. And it might be a little scary. For some of you, it may be becoming a follower of Christ. And you want to become a follower of Christ, but man, maybe you're a little scared. You think, man, I may become weird or something like that if I become a follower of Jesus, you know? Or maybe you have some other questions or concerns about that. And sometimes fear holds us captive from doing the will of God. But then there's also another reason. It's not just being afraid, but it is also sometimes we believe that we know better than God. You know? And I believe there was a part of Jonah that believed that too. Now, God, you may have gotten this all mixed up. I mean, these people would never listen to the preaching and teaching of God's word. And I'm just not interested. And you know what? I could go so many other places and have so much more fruit. You know, God, maybe you just kind of got that mixed up. And there's a part of all of us that believes that we know what's better for our lives than what God knows. But God's about to get that out of the heart of Jonah here in a chapter or two. When God spoke to Moses, he took off his shoes. When he spoke to Isaiah, he fell to his knees. When he spoke to Abraham, he left his home, as we're going to see next week. But when he spoke to Jonah, what did Jonah do? Man, he striped on his Nike Airs and ran the other direction, far away from God as I can. And we think that running from God will be easier than following God. But you know, Jonah got himself into a huge mess. Massive storm, thrown overboard, belly of a fish. Can you imagine how that smelled for 3 days and not 3 nights? I mean, if that doesn't make you want to do what God wants you to do, I don't know what would, but it's not good. And we just believe sometimes that going our own direction is easier. And listen, I want to tell you, following the Lord may not be easy. Sometimes it is, sometimes it's not. There's always challenges that are there. But listen, at least when you're following the Lord and life is hard, you have peace. You know you're living in sync with the purposes of God. You have your conscience is clean, right? And you can have the strength and the power of Christ in your life. There's a lot of great things, and yet sometimes we think that going against God is easier than going with God, and nothing could be further from the truth. Jonah makes his life a mess because he's trying to do his own deal. It will suck the wind out of you. There's no peace. There's no joy. You'll be guilty and miserable in doing it. And so that's why we need to commit ourselves to God's Word. Okay? The Bible is God's Word. You may think, well, Ron, I want to follow God's Word, but I don't know where. Listen, begin to read the Bible. You know, I hope that you'll read the Bible at least a few minutes every single day. You don't have to read the Bible for long periods of time for God to speak to you, to encourage you, to bless you. But consistent Bible reading is the greatest way to align your life with the plan and purposes of God. So I hope that you'll take just a few minutes every day to open the Bible and to say, God, what are you saying to me? You know, and then when we begin to align our life accordingly, then we begin to move in sync and in step with Him. So God wants us to, first of all, listen to the Word, but then second of all, to sail the right direction. Jonah is sailing the wrong direction. Now, it's interesting. Check this out here in verse 3. But Jonah ran away from the Lord, and he headed for Tarshish, and he went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying the fare, he went aboard, and he sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Jonah believed something that is so interesting here. He believed if he could change his proximity, that somehow he would be off the hook, you know? Like if I go to a new address and I move to another country, God will forget about me and he'll get somebody else to go over there and to help those, you know, forsaken people. But you know what? God's callings are not bound by geography, you know? God's callings are not bound by where we are or where we live or what we do. And so while he tried to run the other direction, it didn't change God's calling. God came after him. And listen, God came after him with the great storm, but it wasn't because he just wanted to beat Jonah up. He wanted to redirect Jonah's life. That's what God wants to do with you today. God just wants to focus you on the right thing so that you can live in sync with his plan and purposes. But if you notice a map of the ancient world, just to put this in perspective, Tarshish, the place that Jonah got on the boat to go to, is in far western Spain. I mean, it was as far west as you could possibly go at that time in the world. I mean, we're talking far, far, far west. On the other hand, Nineveh was in the Assyrian Empire, which is modern-day Iraq. That was about as far east as the known world went. And so Jonah was going as far away as he could from the place that God had called him. It wasn't like God said, I want you to go to Denver, and he went to Fort Collins. You know, I mean, he went the whole other direction to get as far away, and the plan with that was that he could somehow distance himself from this calling that God had for him. But listen, we do the same thing today. Isn't this the truth? People change jobs. People change marriages. People change cities. People change vocations, people change churches, people change all kinds of other things because we believe that we can somehow get away from God, right? We believe that we can hide. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a proud parent. I have a 4- and a 5-year-old kid. And if you've never had the experience of playing hide-and-go-seek with some preschoolers, you are missing out on one of the fine things in life. I'm telling you, it is totally hilarious. My kids are the worst at hide-and-go-seek. I mean, they cannot hide. They'll get a blanket and cover themselves up in the middle of the floor and leave a leg hanging out, you know, and they think they've hidden. It's crazy. My kids believe if they can close their eyes tight enough, they can become invisible. You know, I'll stand in the corner like this and daddy can't see me. Or they'll hide in the closet, but I'll hear him snickering, you know, that kind of thing. Terrible. So terrible. And they hide in all the same places. There's really no creativity, you know. So I love to jump out and scare my kids and freak them out a little bit. In fact, the other night, I didn't tell the 9 o'clock services, but I'll tell you guys. I turned the lights out in Zane's room. He's 5. I jumped in the top of his bunk bed. I covered myself up with pillows and blankets. And he climbed up the ladder to go to bed, and I jumped up. I pulled like a Frankenstein move. I, you know, sat up in the bed and screamed. Oh, you guys should have seen him. Jumped off the ladder, went crazy. Couldn't sleep for a week in that room, you know. Monsters in there. Hide and go seek, man. We play hide and go seek with God. God knows all the places that we hide. There's no place that we go that he doesn't see us. And while we think we can get away from him, the truth is we cannot, because he's God. So what do? When we get off of the path, we want to redirect our lives back onto the path. In fact, the greatest way to really determine our spiritual maturity is this. It's the lag time between the time God tells us to do something and we actually do it. Sometimes we're on the slow motion plan. God speaks and it's like 12 months later, you know, we start to think about it. Others of us, the Lord speaks, boom, we're on it. We're in the car, we're on the phone. We're doing the deal. The time that it takes for us to begin to follow the Lord, that's the measure of spiritual maturity. It shows our desire to follow the Lord. It does. Jonah was on the slow plan. He was in slow motion. Sometimes we are too. So we have to ask ourselves, are we on the path to Nineveh or are we on the path to Tarsus? Which boat are we on? Where are we going? Because God has this plan for our lives. Now here's the third thing. To deal with the Jonah inside, we have to bless others with our actions. You know, everything that we do affects other people. We talked about this a few weeks ago, but this is so good. In Jonah chapter 1, the entire cargo is dumped overboard because this huge storm arises. Notice this in verse 4 and 5. Then the Lord sent a great wind and the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. Because Jonah was running from God, it caused all the cargo to be thrown overboard. Now the entire crew is losing their livelihood, their profits. Now they're going into debt. Why? Because of one dude. Because of Jonah. Because Jonah didn't serve the Lord. And listen, when we serve the Lord, we bless others. When we don't serve the Lord, we cause problems for other people. And sometimes it's people that we know, and other times it's people that we don't know. But the decisions that we make in our lives do affect the people around us. Some of us today, you're being affected by some of the decisions that other people made. In your life, your decisions are affecting other people. So we have a great opportunity to be a blessing to people. Because when we serve the Lord and our lives are blessed, it just begins to bless the people around us. But Jonah, in his own selfishness, was doing his own thing, and he caused great hardship for everyone else. What does God want us to do? He wants us to change our course when we fail. When we're headed the wrong direction, and the truth is every one of us goes our own direction, okay, at some point in our lives, right? There's a Jonah inside, that propensity to go our own direction. But when we go our own direction, God wants to redirect us to go to the city of Nineveh. There's times in all of our lives where we're going to Tarsus, but the question is, will we allow God to redirect us back the other direction? And notice this in verses 4 through 9. Then the Lord sent a great wind upon the sea and a violent storm, and All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own god, and they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten the ship. But Jonah had gone below the deck where he lay down to fall asleep. And the captain said, "Well, how can you sleep? Get up and call on your God, and maybe he'll notice us, and we will not perish." And then the sailors said to each other, "Come, let us cast lots and find out who's responsible for this calamity." And they cast lots, and they fell on Jonah. And they asked him, "Tell us, who is responsible for making all this trouble for us? What do you do? Where do you come from? What is your country? From what people are you?" And he answered, "I'm a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land." So Jonah here is being corrected by the non-believers are correcting the believer. And Jonah claims that he's a worshiper of the Lord, but when you look at his life, you have to kind of go, Jonah, I don't know about that, you know? Jonah's confessing his own sins to these random people, you know? And these guys are like, "Man, you need to get it together, bro." And Jonah's, you know, totally confused. He doesn't know what to do. God is pursuing him in this storm. Looks pretty devastating. It looks pretty nasty. But God's about to swallow him up in this great fish and deliver him to the place that he was to go in the first place. But when God comes after us, we needn't continue to run. And, you know, we need to turn and go God's direction. Now, notice how the story continues here. This terrified them, and they asked, "What have you done?" And they knew he was running away from the Lord because he had already told them so. And the sea was getting rougher and rougher. And so they asked him, "What should we do to you to make the sea calm down for us?" And in verse 12, he says, "Pick me up and throw me overboard, and it will become calm. And I know this is my fault and that the great storm has come upon you." Jonah's saying, "Man, I'm the cause of this whole thing." Instead, the men did their best to row back to land, but they could not, for the sea grew even wilder than before. And then they cried out, "O Lord, O Lord, please do not let us die for taking this man's life. Do not hold us accountable for killing an innocent man, for you, O Lord, have done as you have pleased." And then they took Jonah and threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. And at this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to him. They made vows to the Lord, but the Lord provided a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish 3 days and three nights. Now, the crew did everything that they could, humanly speaking, to try to overcome this storm. They rowed harder. They cast lots. They cried out to their own gods. They even threw Jonah overboard. But here's the deal. Many times we look for physical answers to spiritual problems. Okay? And maybe the problems that you're facing today are not physical, they're spiritual. God had a message for Jonah. "Jonah, you got to go the right direction." And instead, everybody's trying to row harder. And sometimes we think the solution to our problem is just trying to work a little harder, put a little more elbow grease in to that issue. But what we need is we need God. We need the Lord. And Jonah began to see this, and the men did too. And when we run from God's voice and we sail the wrong direction and we fail to worship the true God, our actions affect others. But thank goodness Jonah got on the right path. He was swallowed by this great fish. And you know what? When he went to Nineveh, to his amazement, the people actually listened. The Bible says in Jonah chapter 3, the entire city turned to the Lord. People are fasting and worshiping the Lord and all this. And Jonah didn't even think that was possible. But now, a whole spiritual awakening is taking place in this ancient city that seemed to be so pagan and so removed from the Lord. It's amazing when we begin to follow the plan and purposes of God, in spite of what makes sense to us, that amazing things will begin to happen. And Jonah saw all of that to his amazement and even a little bit to his frustration. But every day of our life, we visit one of these two cities. We visit Nineveh. We visit Tarsus. We do a little of this. We do a little of that. But today, God is saying to us, it's time to redirect our lives. It's time to move from here to here. And maybe today you'd like to just open your heart to the Lord and just say, man, today, God, I realize I've been on the wrong ship. And I want to head the right direction. And I want to lead you in a word of prayer in just a moment. And we're going to pray together. And man, I'm just praying that this morning will be a time of redirection, where we move from where we are headed to where God wants us to be. Maybe today you'd like to open your heart to Jesus Christ and begin a relationship with Him. Because listen, if you've never met the God of Jonah, He wants to come into your life and give you a second chance and forgive you and to cleanse you from the inside out, to make you new, to forgive all of your sins, man, to give you a hope and a future. And this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to make life's greatest and most significant decision, and that is to become a follower of the Lord. Let's just bow our heads for a moment, just all of us for a minute, nobody moving around or distracting anybody, but just in the quietness and stillness of the room. How many of you today would just say, Ryan, pray for me. I've been on the wrong path. I've been on the way to Tarsus, but I want to go to Nineveh. I want to go the direction of God. Would you just slip up your hand for just a minute? I just want to pray for you today. Okay, right here. Somebody else, right here. Okay, right here. Somebody else today, right here. Yeah, over here on the right. Yeah, anybody else? Ryan, pray for me. Let's pray together. Father, thank you today for the opportunity we have to get on the right path. Today, our deepest desire, Lord, is to follow you. And I pray for everyone who has raised their hands today that, God, you would give them the courage and the strength and the power to follow you, even though it may be difficult, even though it may be challenging, even though it may not make sense. God, give us the faith, give us the power to continue to follow you. And while our heads are still bowed for just a moment, maybe today you would like to commit your life to Jesus Christ. You'd like to just open your heart to Him. You've never met and known the God of Jonah, but today you want to begin this faith journey with Him. Would you just slip up your hand wherever you are? I want to pray for you today. I want to lead you just in a word of prayer if you'd like to do that. This morning in both of our services, people made that faith commitment and took that step. It was really, really an awesome thing. And maybe today you'd like to do that. Lord, we pray today for every person here today that's never come to know the God of Jonah, the God of the second chance, that today you would speak to them so clearly and give them hope and encouragement and strength and power today to follow you with all that they have. We pray this all in the wonderful name of the one who gives us life. Amen.